to God. Amen. I was touched, Brother Bear. This church has been built on home Bible studies. Many of you sat through my Bible study and your relatives. You just don't realize it's the greatest tool for revival there is. I remember people coming into that first lesson in our Bible studies with their arms folded, thinking, I don't want to be here. I remember one lady at the end of that first lesson, she said, could I just hug you? I never met her before. But she was feeling the love of God. And she didn't know how to express it. I remember a couple that I taught in my office after work every Monday night. And after a few lessons, they came up to my wife and I said, can we just hug you? See, they're looking for love. Thank you for those who teach. Dust off those Bible study charts. It'll make people love you. Amen. I taught on marriage last Sunday morning, and so far we haven't had any divorces. One woman said that her husband is now opening the door for her. Unfortunately, it was on the expressway. The word is important. What I've recognized is that, and I didn't do this on purpose, I don't teach series, I think maybe two in the last 35 years, that last Sunday I preached and Wednesday I preached and this morning really comes together as almost a series. Saturday morning I stood there and God told me what I am to preach next Sunday morning. That rarely happens in advance. So if you would turn with me to Genesis, chapter 1, starting in verse number 1, I've come to realize that there is more revelation in that first chapter of Genesis than you could possibly imagine and how it affects your life. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. We're talking about the church, folks. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. He separated the light from the darkness. And then if you go to verse 28. It says, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. I wonder if he was talking about Bible studies. And replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. I want you to look at that word replenish, meaning let's fill something that once was full again. And then Genesis 9. Verse number 1, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and what? Replenish the earth. In other words, that what was here before is no longer here, and now we're going to fill it up again. Lord, we ask your blessing, your anointing upon the word of God. It saved us and it keeps us saved. By the authority in the name of Jesus, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Glory to God. I was driving up to the church today and I saw the beautiful grounds, the plantings, how the grass is cut. And it truly is a beautiful picture. It's the greatest sign that this community has. Sister Maisto, thank you for all of what you do. So God's first creative act was to separate the light from the darkness. He saw that the light was good, but in order for that light to stay good, it had to be separated from darkness. Jesus said in Matthew 5 and 14, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." He also said in John 8 and 12, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." So when God recreated us and put his light in us, he took us out of the darkness. It talks about that in 1 Peter 2 and 9, "Who hath called you out of darkness and brought you into his light." Amen. So at the very beginning, in Genesis, the first chapter, God was really talking about the church, that he was going to pull out of darkness and put us in light, but in order to maintain that light, we have to be separated from the darkness. God wants to keep us from darkness, so our light will not diminish. And if we're associated with darkness, our light, our power is diminished. Today, it seems like we want to please everybody, and so we kind of homogenize and mix in light with darkness, thinking, well, it'll work better that way. Less conflict. Not according to God. In Genesis 1 and 2, it tells us that the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Sounds a lot like each of every one of us. Darkness, we had no information, no illumination, no understanding of God's word. We were without form. The Hebrew word for that form means worthless, dry, like a desert. Void, meaning empty, absence of meaningful relationships or occupation. And darkness was on each of our faces. The Hebrew word for darkness means not only dark as night, but misery and ignorance and wickedness. We didn't even understand who we were and how dark we really were. But the light of this world came to change all of that. God's light shined upon each and every one of us in order to change us, give us what we didn't have. He spoke to us by his Spirit and separated us from the darkness to create a new creature in Christ, a recreation, if you will. Glory to God. It said that the earth was without form and void. The Hebrew says it became void. So there could have been a catastrophic event that happened from Genesis 1 to Genesis 1 and 2. And this was a recreation act. God created the heavens and the earth, but then the earth was without form, or it was worthless. You know, when God creates something, it's perfect. It's not void. It's not without form. The church, God never created anything that was worthless. But in time and circumstances, things become worthless. God created Adam and Eve, and they were perfect in the garden, perfect creation, But then they sinned. So God had to have a recreation process called born again. We are a recreation of the perfect man God wanted us to be. So in the process of being born of the water and the Spirit, you'll notice two things are present at creation. There was water and there was Spirit. Our creation involves water and Spirit, the same as we saw in the first chapter of Genesis. We then come out of darkness and we are no longer without form or void. We're no longer worthless. We have a great value to us, but we become a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people that we should show forth the praises of Him who hath called us out of that darkness into His marvelous light for a recreation, if you will. The problem is we can stop the recreation process. God wants to take us all the way onto perfection when we get to a place that He has perfected for us. Now, light doesn't condemn. Light reveals. Some people think that the truth will condemn them. No, it enlightens them. Light reveals the love of God. When people hear in that first lesson of home Bible studies, all of a sudden they recognize no condemnation, but I recognize a love of God that I've never experienced before. People don't come into the church and feel condemned. They feel the love of God because God doesn't want to punish. He wants to restore and recreate. He's into building projects. He wants to take something that was worthless and make it incredible. So familiar is 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. A recreation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Once we are born again, the light doesn't stop. God shed His light, and suddenly we see things in areas that we've never seen before, but we also see some things in our life that were wrong. And now all of a sudden, when somebody uses curse words at work, we're appalled by it, but just a little while before that, it didn't bother us at all. But that light says, I'm offended by these things, you see? Then conviction steps in and activates repentance, and He is faithful to forgive us, all because the light revealed a couple of things to us. It sees the mistakes, and it sees the provision. Here is the air, and here is the blood eraser. I understand what I was, but I'm no more that person. I've been recreated in the likeness and the image of Christ. Without the restoration that light and knowledge bring us, we feel distance from God, and we feel like we are damaged goods, that we are not good enough in order to be a part of God's kingdom. Many times visitors come in here and they feel like, no, I can't be a part of this because I'm damaged goods. There are things that have happened in my life that are wrong and still going on in my life, and how could I become a part of that? Feeling distance from God because they're damaged goods. Now, there is no geography in God. Did you know that? There is no such thing as far or close to God. I know there have been people who have said God is far from us, or why doesn't God hear us? But God is never coming and going. God is. He is everywhere. And like Paul said, if you'll happily feel after Him, He's right there. His eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those who have a perfect heart. I want to know more about you. And God says, That's all I've been waiting for. But there is a sense of distance that happens in our lives when we practice things that are contrary to or opposite of God. So when we get to that place where we willfully sin after the coming to the knowledge of Christ, there remaineth no more sacrifice, and we automatically feel this distance between God and us, and now we're thinking, well, my church isn't like it used to be, and I don't feel the same way, or I'm not feeling the presence of God. It isn't God that has changed his mind. And then we feel a sense of distance. That feeling is God given to move us in a direction back to the creation process. But God has never moved from where you first felt him. The gifts and calling of God is without repentance. He has never changed his mind about what he wants for you. No matter how many times you stumble, no matter how many times you fall, no matter how many times you never showed up or you weren't faithful, God hasn't changed his mind. And when we are filled with God's Spirit, we have a link to a divine nature and a divine life, and God is not going to give up on that process that he first put us in when the Spirit and the water started the recreation process. But even after we were filled with the Holy Ghost, a closeness with God like we never had before, we still have to deal with the damaged emotions that we walked into when we came to God. See, the problem is we didn't walk into the church with a perfect life in the first place. Amen. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Yes, I see the Spirit of God move over the faces of those who want to be regenerated. But it was after that when God began the recreation process. Talking in tongues is not the transformation. It is our birth certificate. It's just giving us a ticket to get into the race that we're starting to walk and maybe perhaps run to the finish line. We make the mistake that when we're filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name, the process is done, but that's just the start of the process. The creation comes after the birth. You ladies that just had babies, well, okay, there she is, there he is. But do you think that's the end? No. There's a process. And we delight in every step of the process that child goes through. And God delights in every step of the process that we go through in the recreation. Did you see? He raised his hands for the first time. She walked to the altar. They're teaching a Bible study? Yep, that's my boy. That's my girl. Example, people come out of prison having paid a penalty. We've baptized over 2,000 men in the prison over the years, and we've seen everything you can possibly imagine. Baptized men with tattoos, and I baptized one man who had a name carved in his chest. One day they walk out of prison. They are readmitted back in society. Every one of us have come out of some form of jail or another, some kind of habit, some kind of problem. Welcome home. Welcome to your church family. You've been pardoned by the Holy Ghost and the blood of Jesus Christ. You've been set free, yes, but we are all damaged goods an earthen vessel without form or void. God has to recreate us into something that is good. Freedom isn't enough until you do something with the freedom that God has given you, because we have been beat up and damaged and told that we are worthless and lied to and divorced and forsaken, and all of those things is in our past, but it affects our future. Our past is not pretty, and we deal with issues like shame and guilt and fear, thinking that we can never go on to perfection with God. Our personal self-worth and image have been stolen from us. God not only wants to restore our relationship within, but he also regenerates our human spirit so we can live with ourselves as well as God. We can get to the place where we don't like ourselves, and if we don't like ourselves, we can't have a relationship with God. David said, "My sin is ever before me." The psychiatrist and psychologist says, "Well, we have to get to the root of the problem, find out who damaged you early." And God's saying, "No, you don't have a past. All you have is a future. Forget about what you dragged into the church." God's creative voice speaks to us after the Spirit is upon our face and brings out all that we can be to conform to his image. He wants to take something that was nothing and worthless and in dark and void and make it into something where he can say, "And I saw that it was good." Bring us out of all that we were to become all that we can be. And after each day of creation, creative step, God inspects us and says, "And I saw that it is good." It's not yet complete. It's coming along real good, you see. The creative process came after God said, "It is good." And just as he said, "It is good," you hear the preaching of God's word, and it causes something in us to develop that process to become perfect for God. There are many Pentecostals that have the Holy Ghost, and yet they stay frustrated. Why? Because they can't dominate certain things in their life. Lust and morals and honesty and anger and insecurity and guilt and fear. They're still living with those things in their life, even though God has filled them with his Spirit, shone light upon them. We are redeemed by the blood and adopted by the Spirit, but now God wants to restore and to rebuild our personalities. Maybe you were grumpy before you got the Holy Ghost. You shouldn't be grumpy anymore. You know? Maybe you didn't like to be around people before you were filled with the Holy Ghost, but now you should like the people that you are around. Maybe you were shy, but now God gives you a boldness to be a part of the kingdom of God. See, he changes not only our salvation situation, but he changes us so we can be more productive for the kingdom of God. We are redeemed by the blood and adopted by the Spirit. Glory to God. Yet we can step out of that recreation process of God by not hearing the preaching of his word, not responding to his direction. And then we become frustrated Christians because, well, you know what? The church used to be so much more spiritual than it is today. Really? Is God just as spiritual? Maybe you stepped out of the process. Maybe I've been in this thing so many years, let somebody else do something. We aren't much of a recreation just having God's Spirit. The Spirit in us must recreate us in His image. See, there's this unction. Turn to Ezekiel, the 36th chapter. Starting in verse number 26, it's a prophecy of what the Holy Ghost is going to do. It says, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you." Why? "And cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them." You see. So He's given us the power to keep into that recreation process that He started us with. Glory to God. Jesus not only was spiritually perfect, but He was emotionally perfect as well. Amen. Have you ever heard that saying yet? They're so spiritually minded, they're no earthly good. You know, we think we're somebody, and then we can't be anybody that helps the production of the church. You see, Jesus knew when to get mad, and He did, and when not to get mad. He knew when to speak and when not to speak. See, He was perfect in more than one way. The Spirit of God that is in us is working to rebuild the defeated, shameful areas of our life. Our past doesn't matter. Let God shape our future. Those of you who want to drag your past with you will never have complete joy and satisfaction and peace in your life. Forget about it. Paul says, "One thing I know, and that is to forget the past and press towards the mark of the high calling of God." And if you can't do that, you'll never have the peace and the joy that God wants you to have. Amen. The problem we have is we get the Holy Ghost in 5 seconds. We're one of the reasons I know we're in the end times is it's so easy for people to get the Holy Ghost. When I came into the church, it didn't seem like it was easy. People really had to. That's right. My pastor sought for the Holy Ghost for 9 years. 9 years. Was never productive for all those 9 years. But as soon as God filled him with the Holy Ghost, he wore out people. He wore out people. When he came to the altar, nobody gathered around him. I mean, it's of his own admitting, because they wore out many times praying for him. So he went to a men's meeting at Green Lake, and there were people there who never saw him before, prayed for him, but his testimony was he just threw up his hands and went, "Ah!" And instantly, God filled him with the Holy Ghost. He bought a Bible study chart, and from there on, there were untold people who were filled with the Holy Ghost because now there was a power within him. Glory to God. But today, people get the Holy Ghost, just it's a new experience, and they walk away from God. Hallelujah. That's enough. Been baptized in Jesus' name. I feel secure now, confident, but I don't want to become what God wants me to become. But dealing with our damaged emotion takes an entire lifetime. So it's a start when you're filled and baptized, but now we got to deal with who we were to make us who God wants us to become. It just doesn't happen overnight. Because God didn't create the world in one day. It took a long time. In fact, the Bible says one day to God is like 1,000 years of man's time. Most believe that creation was 6,000 years. And one soul is worth more than the entire world. So could we be patient with somebody who is in the process? Excuse me, you're not moving as fast as I think you should. You should already be. No, it's not your judgment, folks. We all know the story of the prodigal son. Out of the pig pen, talking to himself, I had it better in my father's house, coming home to dad, who hugs him and kisses him in his stinky, muddy, ugly clothes. Unexpected that his father would receive him like that. And there needs to be somebody who walks in here who hasn't been around the church for a long, long time, and the surprise is that God welcomes him with open arms, allows him to feel his presence, you see. He gets a ring and a robe and shoes. Let's party. My son, who was once lost, is now found. And in our mind, we watch them walk off into the sunset. Not so. Now the real work begins in the restoration and the reconciliation to God and family. It took a while for the brother to accept him. But the real work came after he walked back into the house. Yes, the father loved him and welcomed him back. There's no question about that. That's what God does. But we, like the prodigal, have to deal with emotional trauma, damaged feelings, guilt, shame, frustration, and earn our credibility through faithfulness. So you want to serve God? Okay. How many times have I baptized somebody and said, just be faithful? Oh, so you want to get married? Are you going to come home every night? Just be faithful, and the marriage will be successful. And one moment at the altar is not big enough or great enough to take you to the end of the process. It takes time in his presence. I don't care if you've been living for God for 40, 50 years, and some of you are, you're still in a process. It takes time in his presence, sitting around his table, hearing his voice speak to you, feeling the touch of God over and over again, reading his letters, and engaging yourself in the work of the Father. A lifetime project, one day at a time. One day at a time. You know how I started this thing? One day at a time. All right, maybe I'll come next Sunday again. And I did. But I wasn't going to come to Sunday night. Maybe I'll sit in one Bible study. And I did. But I thought, I just about know everything there is. Don't accept the guilt that hell or your damaged personality wants to put on you. If God has now filled you and washed you, then he is in the process of restoring and rebuilding the damaged areas of each and every one of our lives. And God's not impatient like we are. The plan of salvation is given in one book, the book of Acts. But then we have 21 epistles to help restore and rebuild. Most of my preaching is out of the epistles Because even though you've been baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, the epistles is a program of restoration and help and recreation for each of us. Thank God for this book, because we know what God wants for our lives. Amen. Would you stand with me? I'm a big fan of Yogi Berra. He has some incredible quotes. Well, one of his greatest is, "It's not over until it's over." Folks, it's not over until it's over. It's not over until you feel your feet leaving the ground. And until then, we have to stay in the recreative process. Amen. The altar's open. Would you come?